Well, it is Happy Spring Forward Day. Now, losing the hour hurts. It hurts my feelings, and it hurts all of your feelings. I am impressed with the group that is here this morning. This is basically our normal group, and so, well, you guys are as close to normal as we get around here. And so you guys did it. That's fantastic. I'm so excited. And I think it helps that all of our phones automatically jump over. And so I'm maybe expecting a few, you know, few more dimmer bulbs out there today. So tell your neighbor they're a dim bulb. They'll appreciate that. But in our house, we celebrate Spring Forward Day because it means I just love the extra daylight at the end of the day. It's like it's one of those obvious, but we love that it says spring is here. And then the other thing, just it was 2 days ago driving down the street on the way to work, and I was like, all the buds are on the trees. It was like they all show up on the same morning. How could that be intelligent design? I don't know. You know, it's just crazy how they all know to show up when spring shows up. So spring is here. And so what an amazing coincidence that we are finishing our series today called Spring Forward. It's not a coincidence. I actually planned ahead for once in my life. The series is called Spring Forward, Making Room for Better. So in order to move forward in life, I believe we have the same set of opportunities. Sometimes we have the same people in our lives, the same situation. It's about making room for God in place of the ways we've been doing some things. If you've missed the last 2 weeks or you just want to rehear them or pass them on to somebody else that might benefit from them, catch them on our website, picktownfc.com, or pick up the Podbean app. It's free, and you can get our stuff. We'll post as soon as Chrissy puts it up, and she does a good job of having that ready, usually midweek after every service. So pick those up and pass those around, and I'm really feel God's challenge in this service. So we've been learning that we make room for better every time we make room for God, because it's one of those kind of no-brainer statements that I think are good to repeat. God's ways are higher than our ways. So if we make room out of us, if we get out of the way and we put God's way there in place, we've just upped our quality. And so our foundation scripture is in a little book of the Bible called Haggai. And some Bible teachers may even correct me and be like, it's Haggai. But I don't care. I say Haggai because that's what I said when I was a kid, and I get to say it today. So just say Haggai. It just sounds great because you can, it's like there's a hag in the Bible, and we can be happy about that. It's a little book. If you know where Matthew is, which is pretty easy to find at the beginning of your New Testament, and you go back about 10 pages, it's usually about where it is. It's just a page or two long. And he deserves more credit than that, but it's just a little book. And so in it is this story of God's people. And in the Bible, they're referred to a few different ways. You'll see the nation of Judah, nation of Israel, because they kind of split from the one nation of Israel. Or you'll see the name Jews or Hebrews. That's all the names and terms for God's people throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible. And even today, we have the Jewish nation. But this time is about 500 years before Jesus. And the people that rule this area of the world, the current empire on the scene, are the Persians. And so their way of doing things was they would let the people go back to their homelands and set up shop as long as they were paying their mullah to the king of Persia. And so they knew that happy people would just happily pay their taxes and keep their mouth shut. Seems like we haven't moved too much further along. But so God's people were back home. They were able to live and rebuild. They had to rebuild because when the Babylonians kicked them out, they destroyed everything. So their plan of attack was, we're going to destroy all your houses. We're going to destroy your temples. And oh, by the way, we're going to take all of you and put you into another country. And we're going to put some other people over here to basically mix everybody up so nobody could rise up and challenge them. Just a little history there for you. I probably shouldn't have done that much boring stuff on Spring Forward Day because I just lost 10 of you. I hear snores. Check your neighbor. Check their pulse. They've been back 16 years at this point. They've been working hard to get reestablished in the area, but the temple is not getting any of their attention. Let's go to Haggai 1:1. It says, on August 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah and to the high priest. This is what the Lord says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This series is challenging us to spring forward and make room for better in three key areas of our lives: our schedule, our finances, and our relationships. What if this spring we didn't just do a little cleaning and organizing? I've forced some stuff around my garage and moved some things around so I could get both cars in during winter, and they barely fit. Thank goodness one of them's a Mini Cooper, or it would not be possible. The bikes all hang from the ceiling, and I hope every day they don't fall on the Mini Cooper. They haven't yet. But on the agenda for this spring is to kind of organize the garage. And, you know, you do a little cleaning, and it's kind of part of the year. It's one of the maybe the sadder parts of the year to have to spend a lot of time cleaning. But what if this time, what if this spring we didn't just do a little cleaning? What if we didn't just move our clocks forward? What if we moved forward in these areas of our lives? What if we didn't just do a little, you know, a little sweeping? I guess it's called a broom, I hear. I don't know. And then there's this thing that plugs in and makes a lot of noise. It just scares me, so I don't touch it. But there are these things, and they just kind of, you move the same little dirt around, you know, especially if you have kids and pets. What if you made a significant change in these areas of your life? If we really want to see progress in these areas, we have to make room for better by making room for God. I'm going to ask you the same two questions we've been asking these last couple weeks together. Do you want to spring forward in those areas? I think we all want to. Which leads us to question number two. Are you willing to make room for better? It's one thing to want to. Everybody wants to. God speaks through the prophet Haggai and describes the situation very clearly. He's using a prophet to let them know that their priorities are not in line with his. And that's why true satisfaction and peace are out of their reach. And it's so important when we hear these words of challenge that we hear the voice of a good father. Because if we take this out of context, all we hear is some angry King God that is just very disappointed in us. And once again, we failed and we have to do more. And it's like this chase. He doesn't want to take us off of one treadmill and put us on another one. That's religion. That's where you have to do this. If you don't show up on time, well, it's nice, you know, if you show up on time on church. If you don't put in X amount, this is what you got to do. You got to do all the. That's a treadmill God doesn't want us on either. And so that's not what we're here about at the family church. Like a good father, he is asking for the honor he deserves, and he wants to take care of us. He's expecting honor. He deserves it, but he wants to take care of us. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God." Some translations say first. In the one I'm reading, it says above all else, same thing, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. God has consistently called people to make room for better by making room for him. God is telling them, you are trying to take care of you instead of honoring me first and trusting me to take care of you. That's what he's wanting to help. He said, look at what's happening. Look at what's going on. You're working so hard, and you're not getting anywhere. God's asking, do you want off the treadmill? Do you want different results? Are you ready to follow and honor me, are you ready to make room for me? And it goes on in verse 8. Now go up into the hills. This is the Lord talking through the prophet. Bring down timber and rebuild my house. It's pretty direct. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 14 that they began to work on the house of the Lord. The people made room for God, and God returned his blessing. So how do we spring forward specifically in the areas of our time, our finances, and in our relationships? We can move forward in each area by honoring God first. That's what this is coming down to. Honoring God is never going to, we gotta get this. Honoring God is never going to happen by accident or as an afterthought. You can't honor your wife as an afterthought. I've tried. Today's the anniversary. Lily actually asked me a great question in the car. We've been car shopping. Thankfully, the journey ended. She's got a car. But she said, do you remember the date that you and Mom, I'm going to get in trouble right now. Do you remember the date that you and Mom started dating? I said, kind of. I said, I actually, the only one I will get in trouble for is if I forget our wedding anniversary. I said, your mom always does remember, though, and reminds me when we get around there, you know? And so, but if I miss, if I get to the end of August 19th, and the, oh my goodness, light comes on in my little brain, and I go running for the whatever scrap of flowers are left at the end of the day at Kroger's, and I've not honored her as an afterthought, right? And I really will never accidentally honor her. I actually have to do it on purpose, right? It's the same way with God and every other relationship. We're never going to just accidentally honor him. And if we go through with our spending and with our time, and we just give him what's left, we've kind of missed the opportunity. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how to put God first in our schedules. And the key is simply to schedule his time first. And I explained this. I said money and time are the two things that we know the limits of. We're very aware of those. But it seems like everybody that's placing demands on them does not know the limits of them. And so there's always a reach in, and we know that where the bottom is. And so if you're ever expecting there to just be something left to give to God out of either, you have to do it first, or it's probably not going to happen, is what I'm getting at. And so the key is to schedule his time first. Determine when you are going to worship. You determine to be at church today. You put God on your schedule. That's awesome. You determine when you're going to grow, when you're going to basically spend some time reading, praying, listening to a podcast, a book that interests you about something to do with your faith. Schedule your rest. That stuck out to a couple people. It stuck out to me when God was showing me this word. One of the more significant ways I can show trust in God is to do nothing, because it's in my nature to go as hard as I can, as long as I can every day, and I still don't feel like I can get everything done, right? So for me to take a pause and say, God, I'm just going to rest and trust you to take care of my needs, it's huge. So schedule your rest. Schedule when you're going to serve him. I love it that the home group that's wrapping up, they're scheduling an opportunity to serve together. Honor him first and watch him bless the rest of your time. Last week we learned it's the same way with our finances. We are to give to God the first part of our harvest and trust him to meet our needs. We make room for better every time we put God first. If we make room for God in our budget, if we determine how much we're going to give and give it first, we can watch him bless the rest of our finances. Danielle and I have seen him do that. This series, if you haven't picked up on it yet, is really all about trust. Specifically placing our trust in God instead of ourselves. Okay, here's an illustration. How did you trade things as a kid? Sandbox, you have a toy your friend wants, and they have a toy that you want. How does that go down? Same time, right? You're holding it out and reaching for the next one. Same time. And so you have a same time toy swap with the other kid. But listen, as you move forward in life, if you have any doubts about whether the other person will hold up their end of the deal, what do you do in that exchange? In the case of moving into some place, they will ask you for a deposit, first month's rent, sometimes the last month's rent, depending on their trust of you. And oftentimes it's just based upon experience with other people. We do the exact same thing. So if we don't trust a person we're making a deal with, we say, you do your part first, and then I'll do my part. That's when there is no real trust, right? The other person moves first. So Lily sold her car on Friday, and so we meet, my name was on the title, and so we meet her friend at the, where we notarize it at the title office, and Lily walks up to me and she said, my friend told me that she forgot her money. Oh, okay, but we're going to sign the title over to her without any money. This just doesn't, she's not my friend, you know. It's technically my car. I've given it to Lily, but it's our way of helping her get her next car. She was taking, anyways. I look at Lily, I said, I'm kind of, and the friend is awkwardly, like, really close. I'm like, I can't, you know, I don't trust that girl. You know, I can't, you know, be mean at the moment. And Lily just said, it's good, Dad, she's my friend. Okay. We walked in. We signed the title over to her friend. Haven't seen her. She showed up at our house, 45 minutes later with the money. But did you catch that? Lily trusted because of the relationship. She said, I'm going to sign away my car, and I'm going to believe that what's coming my way is going to come back. Do you see the difference? We either do same time if we're kind of even with somebody. As soon as we don't trust, we expect the other person to move first. If we trust somebody, we're willing to move first. Trust occurs anytime we give or move first. Or we're willing to. That's trust. Every time. If we put God first in our schedules, we are trusting Him to bless the rest of our time. If we put God first in our finances, we are trusting Him to bless the rest of our finances. If we put God first in our relationships, we are trusting Him to meet our needs. And just something even God was showing to me as I went to sleep last night. Jesus went to the cross without any friends. It says that everybody ran away from Him when He was arrested. And even old bold Peter, he said, not me, Lord. I'm going all the way with You. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. And sure enough, it happened. We'll go through that in the Easter story probably the next month. Jesus loved us first. And the reason why He was able to is because He knew that He would be honoring His Father. And so for us, anytime we trust first, we're basically saying that God's pleasure in us, his love of us, is enough. That His good and faithful, His well done at the end of our life is enough for us. Regardless of what else comes our way, anytime we move first in our life, if we put our lives out there first, regardless of what anybody else does for us, we can do that just as Jesus did it, because He knew that His Father was on the other end, and that was all He needed. I'm a lot more fragile than that, so I'm still working on it. And so I think we're going to work on this together, if that's okay. We put God first in our relationships by acting like Jesus towards people, regardless of how they will treat us. And even more difficult, regardless of how they may have already treated us. Romans 8:29 says this, For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's a really nice way to say God has chosen you and me. Now, it is awesome to know we've been chosen by God, but I think it's important to know what we've been chosen for, don't you? Because there's a big difference between being chosen for a free vacation and being chosen by the IRS for a free tax audit. I want to know what I've been chosen for. It makes a difference, right? God has chosen you and me to become like Jesus. That's nuts. Does he see what he's starting with? He does, actually. This should blow our minds. We can make room for better in all of our relationships by trusting God in every relationship we have. Let's see how God says to put him first in our relationships. So we're just going to scan through some of our basic, everyday, every life relationships. Is anyone in here a son or a daughter? Come on, geniuses. Okay. Yes! Ephesians 6, 1-3 says this, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Right there, it's not because you belong to them. You're doing it for, right? Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, it says. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. I believe this is a lifelong commandment, unfortunately. Even after you're an adult, it's actually probably even more important, because the things you do as an adult, you can cause far more damage and blessing the older you get, and the more resources, the more relationships, right, the more influence. Live in a way that honors those that gave you life and raised you. Any parents in the house? Got a few of those? Oh, yeah. Ephesians 6, 4 says this, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, ouch, by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. If we raise our children this way, we are making room for God in their hearts and trusting God with their future. You don't get to save your kids. You don't get to choose Jesus for them, but you surely get to teach them. And the Bible says another place to train them in the way that they should go. And it says they'll come back to it. So you're making room for God in them. If we raise our kids this way, we're making room for God. Anybody married in the crowd today? Hey! Okay, get your elbows and your amens ready. Elbows to jab your spouse in the ribs and amens for when the word of God is in your favor. Ephesians 5, 21-25 says this, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Men, get ready. Amens. For wives, this means to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Elbows, amens. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives, all the amens should just be raucous right now, should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, ladies, amens, here they come. This means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave his life for her. I just said that Jesus went up to the cross for a church that wasn't even there with him. He did it on the hope that there would be, on the faith that there would be a church. And so it's up to me in my house to love my wife and kids first. It's tough. Not that tough. Translation, submit to that stubborn man and submit to that crazy woman out of your love and honor for Jesus. No more same time trading that the world settles for. Or you've got to prove your love for me before I prove my love to you. That's what the world settles for. Same time at best, or you better do something first, because I don't trust you anymore, and so you've got to prove yourself, and then I'll start acting like the spouse you want me to act like, right? I make room for God in my marriage by treating my wife first like she deserves, and I trust God to meet my needs, and I'm I'll just be real honest with you. I'm working on this, okay? How do we make room for God in our friendships? John, is this okay, by the way, to just go through these things like this? All right, for three of you, we're going to keep going. John 15, 12 through 13 says this. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. A true friend gives without any thought of cost or reward. And you know that. You can think about a friend who has just done something for you, and you're like, I can't give back the same thing. I can't believe what that cost you, either in time or money or, you know. A true friend gives without any thought or cost or reward. What about work relationships? Bosses, employees, you're one of them, and maybe both. The closest verse we've got is further on in Ephesians. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. That's how we do this first, because we're doing it for Him and for Him alone. And so then anything that comes back our way is just gravy on the taters. I was like, that's too hillbilly to say, but I'm going to say it anyways. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Then listen to this. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven. We all have a boss. We all have a Lord above us. And so when we treat the people beneath us and we remember that, we're going to treat them better. And when we treat the people over us better, oh my goodness. We put God first at work by doing it for Him and trusting Him for our reward. What about the people at the bottom of our society? What about the poor? What about the stranger? What about the prisoner? What about the sex offender? What about the people outside our little circles? Matthew 25, 37 through 40 says this. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Wow. Every relationship, every exchange between us and another person, God raises every one of those exchanges up to, we're doing it for Him or to Him. That's a game changer. That will change how I treat people if I believe that. We put God first in every relationship by treating every person like Jesus would. Like Jesus, we are called to love first, even though some may choose to reject us. So the question is that we have to ask ourselves, whose kingdom are we building? Putting God first in our relationships means we interact with the people in a way that builds His kingdom. So how I treat the bank teller, how I treat the waitress, how I treat my coworkers, how I treat my boss, how I treat my children, how I treat my dog. No, that doesn't count. Jesus says in John 12, 32, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He has a double meaning there. One of them is that literally when He's lifted up at the end of the world, at the end of time, it's just going to be awesome. But it also means when we lift Him up in our lives, in our relationships, it draws other people to Him. So isn't that much better than just being the neighborhood preacher or something? I am the neighborhood preacher, but just beating everybody up with your Bible and going around and telling everybody what they did wrong and telling everybody what you do right. And what if we just start treating people how Jesus treated them. You're going to get opportunities that you won't get otherwise. If we lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. We can make room for better in all of our relationships by trusting God in every relationship we have. We can give first in every relationship because we are trusting God to take care of us. That's where the trust comes in. Otherwise, at the same time, just like on the playground, or it's a complete, I don't know you, I don't trust you, so you got to do your part first. And God doesn't want us to be that way with him. The truth is, he did move first. But he's expecting and wants us to live in a way where we give him praise without knowing what's coming the next day. You see what I mean? And then we treat people that way, that I act out of faith in how I treat this person. They might treat me badly in return, but I know that God is going to meet my needs. Let's close this morning. These are challenging messages, and all I can tell you is that I'm always, the only things I usually preach on, actually always preach on, are things that God is doing inside of me. And so we only truly move forward, spring forward in our lives when we do things God's way instead of our own. We make room for better every time we put God first. Every healthy relationship is built on trust. Our relationship with God is built the same way. With heads bowed this morning, if you've never committed your heart to Jesus before, it's an act of trust. Because the only way you would agree to make him Lord over your life would be you would be trusting him to take care of your life. If you've never trusted God in that way before, that you would trust him to take care of your very soul, and you're ready to, and you want to, would you raise your hand this morning? I want to pray with you. The Family Church exists to welcome people home into a relationship with God. That's what we're here for. It's easy to get away from him, but by his grace, it's easy to come back. And I think a lot of you maybe are like me this morning, where I do a lot of same time trading with people. And sometimes I may do something for somebody, but I know they're going to do something back for me. So there's really not a big step of faith there. I had one of my friends a long time ago. I helped him rake his leaves, and it just bothered him that he kept asking when he could come back and rake my leaves. And I said, buddy, I just was happy to help you. Don't get any ideas. I'm not in the leaf raking business. But any time we just feel like we have to have this debt of exchange with people, there really isn't a great deal of trust there. And Father God would have us interact with people the way he did, with an open hand, an open heart. Sometimes an open calendar. Sometimes an open wallet. In order to do those things, it's only can come out of a trust for God to take care of us. Father God, we've come to you at the end of this series, God. I've been challenged, and I believe we all have been. God, it's by our choice that we would choose to take a significant step forward in these areas by trusting you first. And God, every time we make room for you, we've made room for better. And we will move forward.